Time for some world sports from the BBC with me, Hugh Ferris. Coming up, 6 points clear, but Sir Alex Ferguson isn't looking at the Premier League table yet. Sachin Tendulkar fails with the bat again in Nagpur.
Somebody has to talk to him, you know, and say, hey, you've been an icon. Where are we here? We can't go on like this.
And France's premier sporting event will start in England's green and pleasant lands next year. But we start with football, and let's look ahead to Saturday's Premier League programme. Sir Alex Ferguson says there's no point in looking at the table at this stage of the season, even though Manchester United have extended their lead over rivals Manchester City. United's win in the Manchester derby puts them 6 points clear ahead of their match against Sunderland, but with more than half the season to go, Ferguson insists he'll wait before claiming that that is a significant advantage.
What the points total is at the moment doesn't mean a thing to me. It's winning the next game will mean more to me, and then winning the next game, and winning the next game, and then winning the next game. That's the best way to approach it. Not looking at the league table on a Sunday morning and saying, oh, it's great, 6 points in the lead. Means nothing. Winning the next point, or the next 3 points is what it is.
Meanwhile, ahead of their game against Newcastle, also on Saturday, Manchester City boss Roberto Mancini says that Mario Balotelli is not for sale. The Italian striker went straight down the tunnel after being substituted in Sunday's defeat to United before Mancini told him he needs to improve.
After the game, when you asked me if I was happy for Mario's performance, I said no. And I used it to talk with the players. Also, sometimes we can have also a discussion. But I used to keep on the dressing room, not like other people that maybe talk outside the dressing room.
Now, Alan Pardew has seen his Newcastle side lose 5 of their last 6 Premier League matches, and he says they have been playing well, but really do need a win.
In the last 3 games, I have to say the performance level has been high, but we just haven't followed it through with a result. Should have got a draw against Fulham. You know, we had good stats in that game to take a draw. But, you know, we need to really kind of have a bit more resilience about us, a bit more winning mentality to just eke us a win wherever it comes.
Another team who are struggling, Queen's Park Rangers. Their manager, Harry Redknapp, says his players must give blood, sweat and tears if they are to end their poor run and climb the table. They play Fulham, still looking for their first Premier League win of the season.
It'll be a tough game tomorrow. Martin Yeo's done a great job there. They're a good team. Got some top players. I thought Berbatov was a great signing for them. But we've got to be ready. We've got to win. We've got to be at it and give everything we've got. And if, you know, that's all I can ask for them.
Everton have a chance to establish themselves in 4th place, but they travel to Stoke, who haven't lost at home in the Premier League since February. But Stoke boss Tony Pulis knows that'll come under real pressure at the Britannia Stadium.
Everton, I think, are going to be a top 6 side. Where they finish in the top 6, again, that'll be determined on a lot of games that they'll have to play. But they've competed well, and you know, he's got some good players, Dave. He's been there a long time. The players know him, the club know him, so he's got his stamp on the football club. You know, they've reaping the rewards from it.
The other games on Saturday are Norwich against Wigan, who have slipped into the bottom 3, and Liverpool against Aston Villa. Now, it's long been discussed and rejected in the Premier League, but former Manchester United defender Michael Silvestre thinks German clubs have an advantage in European competition thanks to their winter break. Silvestre has also played for Werder Bremen in the Bundesliga and has been speaking to Lee James on Sport Today.
It's a very good thing. The players, especially England, I think, is suffering when they go into the Euro or the World Cup. It's difficult for the players to keep giving 100% at the end of the season. They're all tired, and I think a break would be good. They should keep the Boxing Days and also playing the 1st of Jan, no problem. But after that, they should give the players at least a week off.
Do you see that as a real advantage that the Bundesliga has then? I mean, sure, Chelsea were the European champions, but you had Bayern Munich going all the way to the final. They've been consistent in the Champions League, and as with Borussia Dortmund now as well, and Schalke into the knockout stages. Can you see the benefits that German clubs have?
Yeah, you see it. You really break the season in 2 parts, and you recharge your batteries. You go away when your body needs the sun the most, come back fresh. After, you can see the German teams are doing well for the competitions.
So the idea continues to fail to really take hold in the Premier League, and Tottenham manager Andre Villas-Boas says it wouldn't work.
It's very difficult because we have to understand there is a period where the fans really enjoy football. Boxing Day fixture just before New Year's, in the New Year tour. So it's time where the families get together, go to football. It's obviously, you know, massive for the Premier League product to continue in this festive period. For us who work through it, I think we've got used to it. I recognize that it would be excellent to have a break in between. I'm not sure how compact the rest of the fixtures would look if we take this action.
Staying with football, and UEFA President Michel Platini is considering an appeal against the one-match spectator ban and $100,000 fine imposed on Serbia for racist chanting and scenes of violence at an under-21 game against England. The sanction imposed by UEFA's independent control and disciplinary panel has been widely criticised for being too lenient. The Manchester United defender Rio Ferdinand has reacted angrily on his Twitter page. Ferdinand wrote, "UEFA are not serious at all on racism. Fines do not work at all. Harsh punishments are needed as a deterrent." Lord Ousley chairs the Kick It Out anti-racism campaign and echoes those sentiments.
It's a bit of a joke. Quite frankly, Serbia should have been thrown out of the tournament and their under-21 team banned from being involved in any of the tournaments for probably the next decade. You know, if you don't make a stance on these things, it's going to continue the way that it has been happening over the last decade or so, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better.
To cricket now, and India will start day three of a final test on 87-4 against England in their first innings. That's in reply to the tourists' 330 all out in Nagpur. Sachin Tendulkar was again out cheaply. He was one of James Anderson's three victims after scoring just two runs. And former England captain Geoffrey Boycott told the BBC it might be time for the 39-year-old to retire.
Nobody in India wants to say, "Hey, you're not playing." All frightened to death, and I actually think he deserves better than that. Somebody has to talk to him, you know, and say, "Hey, you've been an icon. Where are we here? We can't go on like this." Somebody has to talk to him and get him to make the decision, don't you?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Hobart, Australia, 303-4 in their first innings early on day two of the first test against Sri Lanka. And finally, it's been announced that the most French of all sporting events, the Tour de France, will start in the English county of Yorkshire. The organisers of the 2014 race chose Leeds ahead of Florence and Edinburgh for its prestigious opening leg. There'll be two stages in Yorkshire, with a third which finishes in London. The BBC's Gordon Farker has more.
They call it the Grand Départ, but it's really just an apéritif, a taste of what's to come when the race gets serious in France. It's begun in Britain before, in Kent in 2007, where figures suggest it provided a boost for the local economy. Organisers hope it's a moment for sponsors to connect with the public and for all to enjoy the glamour of the event, tarnished though it has been by recent drug scandals. They'll also be aware that British interest in cycling is increasing rapidly, driven by the success of road racers like Bradley Wiggins, the current Tour champion.
Meanwhile, the president of cycling's governing body, Pat McQuaid, has hit back at the group challenging his authority after the Lance Armstrong doping scandal. A group calling itself Change Cycling Now, features sponsors, journalists and former cyclists, has called for McQuaid to go, possibly to be replaced by ex-Tour de France winner Greg LeMond. But McQuaid, whose organisation has set up its own independent inquiry into what happened, dismissed their ideas, especially the one putting LeMond forward, as being opportunist.
I've known Greg a long time. He rode races that I organised. That was back 25 years ago. But I have to ask the question, what has he done in the last 25 years for the sport of cycling? Nothing but stand on the outside and criticise. And then he has the arrogance to put himself forward as an interim president of the UCI. Put forward by whom? By a group of people who sit around a room for 2 days?
Well, that's UCI President Pat McQuaid. That's all we've got time for on this sports roundup on the BBC World Service. We'll be back again throughout the day, but that is the latest world sport from the BBC.